The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University, California. I am your host, Mr. Sleep, and welcome to Clawing Through the Mask, the show where I look into the true stories that keep you up at night. High school. What a weird time to be alive and going to school at that time. You always think high school is going to be such a great thing, but then it turns out it's really not. I didn't have a really good time at high school, and neither did some of these kids, which we're about to talk about. The movie today we'll be discussing is 1996 Scream. 1996 was a very odd year for horror movies. The horror franchise recently had died out to all the cut-budget, poor-made slasher films of the horror franchise. But when Scream came out, it wasn't an American slasher film that no one would have thought would have succeeded. It was filmed and directed by Wes Craven, one of the known directors of the horror franchise, and written by Kevin Williamson. It was released on December 20th, and it follows high school student Sydney Prescott and her group of friends in a fictional town of Woodsboro, California, who become targets of a mysterious killer in a Halloween costume known as Ghostface. The film satirizes the cliches of the slasher genre, popularized in films such as 1978's Halloween, 1980's Friday the 13th, and Craven's own A Nightmare on Elm Street in 1984. Scream was considered unique at the time of its release for featuring characters aware of the real-world horror films who openly discussed the cliches that the film attempted to subvert. Inspired by real-life case of the Gainesville Ripper, Scream was influenced by Williamson's passion for horror films, especially Halloween. The screenplay, originally titled Scary Movie, was brought by Dimension Films and was retired by the Weinstein brothers just before the filming was complete. The production faced censorship issues with the MPAA and obstacles from locals while filming on location. The film received positive reviews and was a financial success, earning $173 million worldwide, becoming the highest-grossing slasher film until the release of 2018's Halloween. It still remains the highest-grossing slasher film in adjusted dollars. It received several awards and award nominations. Scream marked a change in the genre as a cast already established successful actors, which was considered to have helped it find a wider audience, including a significant female viewership. Since a lot of horror films didn't really follow very strong female actors, we always know about the final girl cliche in horror movies. Now, going into this, Scream is one of my considered top horror movie. It's one that I constantly rewatch every Halloween. This year I'm actually dressing up as Ghostface again, but this time I'm going to be dressing up as Devilface, kind of a take on Dead by Daylight's red theme of a devil Ghostface. So yeah, really, really love this film. But just because I love the film, I don't love the story behind it. The story behind Scream is actually a very sad and very disgusting story behind it. So viewer aggression is advised. There is a lot of rape and very mutilated and bodies in this story. So if you do not enjoy this, please skip ahead. The story we're going to be following is of a man named Daniel Harold Rowling. He was born in May 26, 1954, and he is now deceased on October 25th, 2006. He was known as the Gainesville Ripper, and he was an American serial killer who murdered 5 students in Gainesville, Florida. Over 4 days in late August 1990, Rowling later confessed to raping several of his victims, committing a triple homicide in his home city of Shreveport, Louisiana, and attempting to murder his father in May of 1990. In total, Rowling confessed to killing 8 people. Rowling was sentenced to death for the 5 Gainesville murders in 1994. He was executed by lethal injection in 2006. In August 1990, Roland murdered five students, one student from Santa Fe College and four students from the University of Florida. His first murder was a burglary and robbery spree in Gainesville, Florida. He mutilated his victims' bodies, decapitating one. He then poses them, sometimes using mirrors. In the early morning hours of Friday, August 24th, Rowling broke into the apartment shared by a 17-year-old university freshman, Sonja Larson, and Christina Powell. Finding Powell asleep on the downstairs couch, he stood over her briefly, but did not want to wake her, choosing instead to explore the upstairs bedroom where Larson was asleep. Rowling murdered Larson, first taping her mouth shut to stifle her screams and then stabbing her to death with a carver knife. She tried to fend him off. Rowling then went back downstairs, taped Powell's mouth shut, bound her wrists together behind her back, and threatened her with a knife as he cut her clothes off. He then raped her and forced her to face down onto the floor, where he stabbed her five times in the back. Rowling poses the bodies in sexual positions. He took a shower before leaving the apartment, and a day later, on Saturday, August 25th, Rowling broke into the apartments of 18-year-old Christina Hoyt, prying open a sliding door glass door with a screwdriver. Finding she was not home, he waited in the living room for her to return at 11 a.m. Hoyt entered the apartment and Rowling surprised her from behind, placing her in a chokehold. After she had been subdued, he used duct tape to gag her mouth and bind her wrists together behind her back and led her into the bedroom, where he cut the clothes off of her body and raped her, stabbed her in the back, rupturing her aorta. He then flipped her body over and sliced her abdomen open from her pubic bone to her breastbone. After arriving back at his campsite, Rowling could not find his wallet. Thinking he may have lost it at the murder scene, he returned there, at which time he decapitated Hoyt, positioned her body in a sitting position at the edge of her bed, and placed her head on a shelf facing the corpse. He later then claimed his intent was to add the shock of whoever discovered her. Reading some of these, I have a bit more to share. The story continues, but taking a quick break from that, this story sounds a lot like a callback, well, a call forward, because this happened later, to the Night Stalker in L.A. For those of you who don't know, the Night Stalker was another serial killer who broke into people's houses, killed and raped, and was also known to eat stuff out of their fridge as he was killing them. So that's just a little connection I'm seeing as I read this. But going back to the story, by this point, the murders have attracted widespread media attention. Many students have begun taking extra precautions, such as changing their daily routines and sleeping together in groups. Because the spree was happening so early in the fall semester, some students withdrew their enrollment or transferred to other schools in total. Tracy Pauls, who was 23 years old, was living in her roommate Manny Tabota, also 23. On Monday, August 27th, Rowling broke into the apartment by prying open the sliding glass door with the same tools he used previously. Rowling found Tabota asleep in one of the bedrooms and killed him. After a struggle, hearing the commotion, Pauls went down the hall to Tabota's bedroom and saw Rowling. She attempted to barricade herself in her bedroom, but Rowling broke through the door. Rowling taped her mouth shut and wrist, cut off her clothing, and raped her, before turning her over and stabbing her three times in the back. Rowling posed Paul's body, but left Tabota's in the same position in which he had did, with the exception of Tabota's. All the victims were petite white brunettes with brown eyes, like Rowling's mother. Although law enforcement initially had very few leads, police did identify two suspects. One suspect was Edward Lewis Humphrey, a University of Florida student who had a history of mental illness and bore numerous scars on his face from a car accident. Humphrey was arrested after a physical altercation with his grandmother and held in custody for 5 months. until a grand jury refused to case him on the murder charges, citing insignificant evidence. Humphrey's photo was shown repeatedly by media outlets. Authorities publicly cleared him of all charges after Rowling's arrest. The other suspects later were all cleared as well. Wow. That is a horrifying story to be reading to you guys. To be honest, I did not enjoy reading that. And I didn't know, as watching the film, that this was actually based on a true story. And it's very sad to be hearing about it and reading about it. That someone could be so deceitful and so despicable to be doing this kind of thing. But it did happen, that happened, and people really did die, and that directors take these stories and change them into horror movies. And does that really ruin, or does that put jokes upon and laughs on things that happen to real people? I don't know. Now, there's a lot of changes between the movie and the story. In fact, it takes, it's completely on the other side of the country in California, while the real stories took place in Florida. There's no rape in the movie, thankfully. I'm glad they took that part out. But the stabbings in the back, which is still used in the movie a lot. Well, actually, no, I don't think it's stabbing in the back. Well, he stabs them a lot in the front sometimes. He always, Ghostface, well, actually, there's two Ghostface in the story, but one of the Ghostface user people loves to stab in the chest area. And you'll see that a lot in the film. But Scream, it was, would it be considered a cult classic? I would say it's a very important film in the horror franchise, since, again, like I said in the beginning, it did change horror. It started making people take a laugh at horror films, especially when you start looking about the movies that came after it, like Chucky, Child's Play. And then as you go along in the Chucky franchise, they start making fun of horror franchises. They become aware that they're in a horror movie. You have Nightmare on Elm Street became slowly aware it was in a horror movie. You have Freddy Krueger making jokes and shooting punchlines. So same thing with Chucky, punchlines and everything. And later, there would be more movies like this. But it's not until later that horror films would take another change and change more into more suspense. And not really all about jump scares, but just the lack of stuff on screen. If you look at apparently claimed horror films like Hereditary, Babadook, a lot of dark areas, stuff happening in the background, not happening right up in your face. A few jump scares here and there. But if it wasn't for Scream in 1990, none of these movies probably would have existed. They probably would have been following the same format over and over, and then probably the genre would have died a long time ago. But that's just my take on this. So I'm your host, Mr. Sleep, and thank you for tuning in for another episode of Clawing Through the Mask.